This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for being with us. Today, for our first segment here, I am going to play for you a recent conversation we had with a recent guest on our show, Dr. Lewis Coates. He is out of Garland, Texas, and he has done several shows with us here on Haystack, and I actually do a show with him that airs in Dallas every Tuesday. And so, but we covered a great topic last week on his show that I wanted to bring to you today. And so with that, Dr. Coates, how are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, I know you've had a busy week, and I appreciate you taking time each week out of your schedule to, help us all out with some health issues and the COVID updates and all of that. And, you know, one area of this that, I think it's really, we're going to even see more of this in the coming weeks and months and maybe even the next year, is the idea of really just the stress and anxiety and depression that this pandemic has put on everyone, no matter what your age, just about. You know, everybody's stressed.
That's absolutely correct. The thing that goes unseen with these pandemics, and it takes a while for people to realize, is the amount of depression and anxiety that it brings upon people. You know, the confinement, initially people don't do well being confined at home. And, we see depression and anxiety in hospitalized patients, even when they're just in the hospital, because they want to get out. And, you know, you start confining people to home and confining what they can do, and they get severely depressed. And then you throw on top of that the fact that we've taken away so many things. A lot of people have lost their jobs, or if they haven't lost their job has changed, and it's, you know, the workflow is different, and a lot of people don't like it. You know, no one likes wearing masks all day. All these things are creating an epidemic of depression and anxiety that we're seeing in the clinic. I don't think there's a day go by that we don't see half a dozen, at least, depression and anxiety patients. And a lot of them are new onset that, you know, they say, well, I've been fine my whole life, and now I don't want to do anything. I sit home, I cry all the time, or, you know, I have headaches. Because depression presents itself in many different ways, you know. Unfortunately, the media, most people think of depression as the person that sits home in a corner and cries all the time.
Right.
And that's because that's the way they can portray it in Hollywood. But the reality is, most depression patients are not that patient. Most depression patients actually have symptoms of headache, nausea, fatigue, dizziness, shortness of breath. Now, your anxiety patients, they feel like they can't breathe. They have feelings like they're choking. This panic that they potentially could die. These are symptoms that you can't really see on a camera in Hollywood. So the public's perception of depression and anxiety are definitely wrong. And, you know, people come in all the time with headaches and dizziness and fatigue, and it ends up being depression. And they argue with you that I'm not depressed. I don't think it's depression. And then we run depression screening on them, and it comes back with moderate or severe depression, and they're flabbergasted. And I try to tell them that's because the perception that you have of depression is not very accurate, because they think if they don't sit home and cry all the time that they're not depressed, and that's not usually the case. And like I said, that's a very small percentage, actually, of depressed patients.
Sure.
The majority of the time is they just lose interest in things. They get moody. They yell at their loved ones, you know, and they use a lot of, you know, they snap at people and use profanities when they know that they know it's wrong, but they can't really control it because they're over the edge with the amount of neurotransmitters in their brain. They just can't control the levels that are going on. And so therefore they are moody and they snap. And it's not that one little thing, like let's say that, you come home from work and you like the pins in the cup next to the phone, and the wife left the pins on the table And you start just yelling, how hard is it to get pins in a cup? My God, you start, you know, every day I come home, you can't get anything right. They're yelling and screaming and carrying on. It's not the pins in the cup that they're mad about.
Right.
It's the all the things in their life that have accumulated to that point that is causing them to act that way. And so the wife will usually freak out, say, you're crazy. You should know, you know, this is insanity. Not that big a deal to have pins in the cup. And all that does is push them even further, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so then they get into a yelling and hollering match, and they end up in my office saying that, you know, he's moody all the time. You know, he's, you know, and usually those are the signs of depression that we see. But that patient probably hasn't ever sat home and cried or, you know, been that classical depressed patient that we see. And sometimes depressed patients just sit around and eat, okay? They gain a lot of weight. Depression is actually one of the major causes of weight gain in the United States.
Right.
I tell patients all the time when they want to lose weight, we need to screen you for depression, because if we don't fix the depression, probably nothing else we do is going to help you lose weight, you know? And Hollywood has contributed to that too, because let's say we've watched a television show and some guy dumps a girl. Well, her girlfriends come over. What do? They bring a thing of ice cream and they sit around the table talking about bad stuff, about how he's a terrible person, and they're all eating ice cream. Okay.
Right.
And, or, you know, potato chips or whatever. You know, these are things that have been portrayed on television as a way to help the depression. And it temporarily makes things better, because when you start eating ice cream, it tastes good.
Sure.
So that releases certain neurotransmitters in your brain of euphoria, and you think, oh, this is good, you know, but you want to reproduce that. And once the ice cream's gone, guess what? So are the neurotransmitters. And so you can't keep it running. That's how people get addictions to gambling or shopping or, you know, sex addictions. You know, these things occur because they're trying to treat themselves, and it doesn't work that way. When they get out on the craps table, they feel great, and they're depression's all better, and they have this euphoria that's covering everything up, and it's all fine and dandy until they all the chips are gone. They start to head out the door, and then the depression comes back worse than ever, because now not only are they depressed, but they're more depressed because they lost all their money. Okay, or the people that shop, we see a lot of shopping addictions. The same thing.
Right.
They run out to the shopping mall, and they buy all these things they don't even need. Okay. But they feel good when they're shopping and buying stuff, and it's all great, and they feel great all day until they start driving home, and then they think, oh, my gosh, I'm going to tell my husband all this stuff I bought. He's going to yell at me, you know. And but they're trying to compensate on their own, which is another reason that we have so much alcoholism and drug addiction. The same concept, exact same concept. Okay, they're masking the symptoms of depression and anxiety with either drugs or alcohol. When they drink, they don't think about things, and guess what? They feel better, okay? But you can't drink forever. The buzz wears off, and guess what? We're right back where we started, and usually worse than you were when you started.
Right.
So that's how these addictions, you know, all forms of addictions kind of occur, is, you know, we're trying to treat something, and we're covering up the real problem. So if we can get them in the office, find out what the real problems are, get them on some medications to help control the depression or the anxiety, and prevent them from trying to take matters into their own hands.
Absolutely. You're listening to Better Health with Dr. Lewis Coates. Once again, his practice is located there in Sachse at 5915 Murphy Road, and he will be glad to help you if you have been looking maybe for a good family physician. We highly recommend Dr. Coates. And, you know, Dr. Coates, as I mentioned, this is affecting everyone. You look at sometimes people are just fearful, and they've got the anxiety you're talking about now, you know, about this disease, you know, what could happen, and it's just overwhelming. And I mentioned it affects everyone, because right now, I mean, you know, kids can be very susceptible to this too, our young people, because, you know, I mean, here in Colorado where I am, they just announced all the high school sports are going to move to March, the football season. Well, that puts a lot of, you know, kids in disarray, you know, for their priorities. So, I mean, how can adults kind of keep an eye on their kids as well with this?
Well, I think you brought up a very interesting point that we're going to have to really focus on, and that is depression and anxiety in these young kids. And these young kids, particularly the teenagers, are the highest risk for suicide. So we need to really start focusing in on trying to, you know, watch for warning signs. let's say your child loves to fish and he doesn't want to fish anymore, or you have a daughter and she loves to exercise and do gymnastics or cheerleading and she doesn't want to do cheerleading anymore. If they lose, a big classic sign of depression is losing interest in things that you typically like.
Sure.
Okay, so it's important to watch for those types of warning signs. We see that a lot in the kids. Is the biggest one is typically that there's something that they really like to do. Maybe your child skateboards all the time, and he stopped doing it. So that's a classic thing that you can be looking for. Maybe they lose interest in their friends, okay? If they go into isolation, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If a child doesn't want to hang out with his friends, you say, hey, where's your, friend Tommy been? I hadn't seen him in a while. And they say, I don't talk to Tommy anymore, okay? That would be a red flag that a parent should be looking for to make sure that, hey, what's going on, okay? Change in sleep patterns. Are they sleeping all the time, don't want to get out of bed? Are they not sleeping at all, okay? Both of those can be signs of depression or anxiety. So making sure that you're looking for these things. If your child sleeps all day Saturday, you can't get him out of bed. Teenagers do sleep poor, but that's certainly going to be a classic sign. Irritability, particularly in boys versus girls. Like I said before, men tend to get very irritable. And
right.
So if you see your child that's, he's irritable all the time, then that's something that needs to be looked at. Change in weight, okay? Are they gaining weight? Because that's another, like I said before, they eat when they're depressed. There's two ways people go with depression. Most of people eat more, but occasionally you have people that won't eat at all, okay? And that causes a problem, okay? So, we need to look at for both of those. The other thing is, can they control their emotions? Okay.
Right.
If they're blowing up and they're overreacting to everything, whether it's anger or crying or always seem to be on edge, that's a sign that the child could be depressed. Okay. If they start talking about death, okay, that's a real bad warning sign that we need to start, hey, let's get this child in to see a doctor. If they become fascinated with death, that's usually a bad sign. So we do need to be looking for this in these kids because we're taking a lot away from them. And most school, even if you are going back to school, they're wearing masks. So they don't get the social interaction they usually get with their friends.
Right.
They're taking away a lot of the different events after school. So these are things that are going to affect these, children way more than the virus itself. The virus itself in the pediatric world is, relatively harmless. It's not, I hate to use the word harmless, but, the risk of severe complications in pediatric patients is extremely small and way less than the flu, okay? But unfortunately, all these precautions are having to be made because it's way deadlier in the flu in people over the age of 50, and they have family members that are over the age of 50. And so all these, we have teachers over the age of 50.
Mm-hmm.
So we're having to we're having to treat them differently, even though they're not really the ones at risk, and we're putting them more at risk because that age group is very high risk for depression, anxiety, suicide. These kids already, teenagers, have a very hard time adjusting. And particularly in today's world with social media and you have social bullies, there's a lot of things going on with kids today that we didn't have to deal with, okay? If you got picked on at a school, you could simply go to another school and start over, and it was all over.
Yes, sir.
But in today's world, if they pick on you, and even if the child goes to another school, I've had patients like this where they go to another school. Well, guess what? Once they figure out where you are, your old friend, they start harassing you from there, and they tell kids at your new school that, all these things. And so they can't escape it like they could before. And so it creates tremendous depression and anxiety in front of these kids. And social and bullying is a real problem that, we're going to have to figure out ways to address. But you know, it's very difficult because these kids have access to information that they didn't have back in our day.
Yes, sir. And, you know, I mean, how do you get people just to, you know, really understand, you know what, it's okay to be, when I say okay to be depressed, I mean, it's okay to seek help. It's okay to admit this because, I mean, every one of us, I don't care who you are, every one of us have fears about what's the future holds, our financial future, maybe our jobs, all of that, kids going to college, whatever the case may be. So how do you, from a medical side, get people to understand, you know, man, it's okay. You know what? We can help you, but you got to face this and admit it.
That's one of the hardest parts of medicine is because we have created, I blame late night television for this, but the talk show host back in the day with David Letterman and Johnny Carson and, Jay Leno, you know, they would always have their monologue and they come out and somebody does something great. Oh, that guy needs Prozac. Okay. You know, and so,
right.
You know, they made jokes about it and they created this stigma with depression and anxiety that really shouldn't be there. And what I tell patients is depression and anxiety is a disease. It's no different than having high blood pressure, no different than having high cholesterol, having diabetes. You wouldn't be embarrassed to come in and tell me you had high cholesterol. You wouldn't be embarrassed to take medicines for cholesterol. You wouldn't be embarrassed to take medicines for blood pressure. I said, so we have to treat this. This is a disease. It's no different. Every single one of us in this world has problems, okay? We just don't know what they are, but we all have something. None of us are 100% perfectly healthy.
Sure.
We like to think we are, but we're not. There's things going on inside our body that we don't know, whether it's depression, whether it's anxiety, whether it's cholesterol, whether it's blood pressure, whether it's sugar, you know, who knows, okay? And some people have cancers and, you know, even worse things. But, you know, for the most part, there are things going on inside of us. Allergies is another common one. And so you have to stress that all of us have issues and we all have to learn to deal with them. And you don't have to tell anyone. It's not like you have to go to work and tell everybody, hey, my doctor put me on, you know, Xanax or, you know, Zoloft or Prozac or whatever, you know, antidepressant, anti-anxiety medicine you want to name. You know, you can keep it to yourself. And that's what I tell patients. You know what? The odds are highly likely that most of the people you work with are taking something to.
Yes, sir.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
You know, in the United States currently, there is 28 million people currently on medicine for either depression or anxiety. Okay. There's 22 million people in the state of Texas. And I tell patients all the time, are you embarrassed to be a Texan? No. Okay. You don't go around. So it doesn't, I said, you're in a smaller group with the Texan group than you are with the depression and the anxiety group.
Wow.
And so it's extremely common. And that's how many are taking medication. We believe there's twice as many out there. There's another 50% that we're not even getting to yet. And that's what's concerning about the COVID thing is it's bringing out a lot of these people that used to be up, they tried to manage it on their own, and now they can't do it, okay? And, you know, suicides are way up. And so, you know, that's something we've got to look at in the medical community. How do we find these people? How do we get them treated before they go through with something like this?
Right.
So, and like what you were saying before with the school kids, parents need to be watching, particularly in, you know, for the next year or two, because who knows how long we're going to be in this environment. But, you know, you take a kid's football away from him, and if he loves football and that's what he dreams of being as a football player, now he can't even play it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to affect him. So, you know, we need to be open with our children and start talking to them and keep our, you know, and as a parent, you know, have your eyes open. Watch your child and say, you know what? Is he doing the normal things he does? Is he talking to his friends? Is he getting out of bed? You know, look for those warning signs we discussed earlier to make sure that you don't see some kind of change. And if you do see a change, that's when you bring him on in, and then we can screen him.
Sure. Now, when you mentioned screening, let's kind of walk through that process a little bit of actually what you're doing there. Is this blood work or what is this?
No.
Okay.
Okay. In our clinic, what we have is we have basically it's a tablet, it's an iPad, and it's going to go through and just ask you a whole lot of generic questions, and there's no right or wrong answer.
Right.
Okay. And, you know, it'll give you a generic question like, you know, if you see, you know, someone, you know, outside and they're crying. How does it make you feel? Sad.
Okay, so kind of different scenarios. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's going to go through a lot of stuff personal to you too. And depending on the good thing, we used to have a generic screening with the questionnaire, and it wasn't near as effective as what has been. Is the tablet can see where you're trending and ask more personalized questions to your own situation based on what you're answering, and therefore, that's really a good thing too, because you come back and you score this after the patient answers all the questions on the tablet. Particularly someone who comes in and he's dizzy and has headaches and he doesn't believe it's depression. Well, you give him a tablet, you answer the questions, and then you show him the printout and you say, look, these aren't my answers. These are your answers. Okay, you're the one that answered these questions, how you actually feel. And it came out with moderate depression. So there's more underlying things than you think going on. And so usually after you break the ice with that, then they'll start to come forward with some information that helps us as a doctor. They'll start to say, well, you know, I haven't felt the same since my boss changed my position at work and they gave me more responsibility and I don't like it. You know, then all of a sudden it starts to come out. Okay, well, is that about the time the headaches and the dizziness? Well, yeah, probably about that time when I started to, you know, and we can kind of start to put together the whole plan as to what happened, how it became about, and what we can do to make it better. So, you know, I think that I really like the computerized version of screening people for depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder. You know, there's a whole lot of mood disorders, and it can pick those out better than we did with the little paper screenings that we used to use. Okay. And I don't think very many offices are using paper screens anymore, but there's probably a few. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, the computerized screenings are much better, and it gives us a real good assessment of where the patient is and what's the best way to treat it.
Right. Once again, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Better Health with Dr. Lewis Coates. His office is located at 5915 Murphy Road in Sachse. Their number, 972-496-6937. And so when we get to talking about, hey, you know, if you're kind of feeling these things, I mean, highly recommend calling the office. And again, the number 972-496-6937. But, you know, Dr. Coates, there's a few things probably everybody can do, and that's probably just taking a break from watching all the TV things and going for a walk and taking some deep breaths and trying to get more sleep.
Yeah, I think getting a good night's sleep, you know, staying off the TV is probably a good idea, particularly in today's world. It just seems to upset everybody. Okay, you know, it's the news has become more of a it's not really reporting the news. They try to push us to their agenda. No matter which news station you tend to watch, they have an agenda, and that's usually what they're pushing, and they never tell you good things. Okay, it's all bad. Okay, so I try to tell patients, one of the things we start out with when we're treating people for depression and anxiety, so tell them, turn off the TV, stop watching the news. That's why you're getting upset, okay? So let's turn it off, and let's focus on the things going on in your life right around you. Go out and take a walk, like you said, do things outdoors. But, you know, for instance, on the news, you could have a doctor save 50 people's lives today, okay? Not going to be on the news. Mm-hmm. But one doctor has a bad surgery outcome or something, and it's all over the news. You know, he's a butcher and killed all these, you know, but they only say the bad things, okay?
Right.
And they'll tell you all the good stories going on. And so it creates depression and anxiety, and people start to think the whole world's bad and everything's bad because that's all they see. Okay, you don't see the good stuff. So so I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, turn off the TV. Go outside, have a walk, get some fresh air. You know, it's nice being outside once in a while and, you know, smelling the wind blow, feel the wind blow by and smell the trees. And, you know, just being outdoors is healthy for you. And it's good taking walks and, you know, getting out in the neighborhood, and it's good exercise.
Absolutely.
So getting outside, you know, getting some exercise is a real good start. Keep staying away from the television. You know, if you watch too much TV, it's going to make you depressed. I mean, you know, they're going to do that to you because their intention is to keep you tuned in and make advertising dollars, and that's their only goal. It's not to inform you. It's not to, you know, it's to keep you tuned in. And if they can scare you enough,
Right.
That you'll stay on the television. That's what their goal is. And so, you know, I think it's unhealthy for individuals to sit there and just continually watch bad news. I mean, you know, they show you the riots and they show you the buildings burning down and everything, but they don't show you someone saving someone's life over there. You know, they skip that part.
Sure.
Okay? Because it makes people think, oh, everything's getting better.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you know, I think that we need to, you know, if you're feeling depressed and feeling sad, cut down on your news time, cut down on your television. You know, if you want to watch television, watch something happy. Okay.
Sure.
And, but mainly get outside, talk to your friends, talk to your family, you know, get more involved, find hobbies that you like and get back involved with them. If you like fishing, go fishing. Okay. If you like to jog, go jogging. If you like bike riding, go bike riding. If you like, building models, go get you a model to build. Find things that you enjoy. You know, if you like music, listen to music, you know, and do those things. And I think that goes a long way towards getting you started. And then get the treatment that you need. Get in, see the doctor, get on some medication. Having a therapist is always a good idea.
Right.
You know, therapists can work through things. You know, they work in conjunction with us in the medical community. And a lot of patients that come in and that are depressed or have anxiety issues, we'll get them on medication, which helps. And we also tell them, look, you know, let's find you a therapist, you know. And the important part about a therapist is it needs to be somebody you like. You know, I tell patients, don't just spend money to go to a therapist to say you went.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like the therapist, get a different one. You need to have somebody that you like and you trust, and otherwise it's not going to do you any good.
Sure. Again, that is Dr. Lewis P. Coates out of Garland, Texas. And he is a family doctor there, and we do this show in Dallas. And, boy, that was just some good content there. So we wanted to play that for you here on Haystack Help Radio. But don't go anywhere. Our good friend Dr. Mark Riggs from 5280 Functional Medicine is with us, and we'll be right back. Hi, this is Scott Watley for my friends at Enchanted Kitchens. At Enchanted Kitchens, it's all about the magic of design. Whether you're remodeling your kitchen or building a custom home, Enchanted Kitchens offers a full-service design center with multiple product lines to meet any budget. And right now, when you mention Haystack Help Radio, you'll receive 15% off your Europa brand cabinets. And after you visit their Experience Center in Englewood, you'll get a no-cost, no-obligation in-home design consultation. Hey, after all, the kitchen is the heart of every home. Call Enchanted Kitchens today, 303-376-7588. That's 303-376-7588. Enchanted Kitchens is a member of the Haystack Help Home Team.
Hi, everybody. Jack Corrigan. There's no better time than now to visit my friends at Len Lyle Chevrolet. They're open, following all proper safety precautions, and ready to offer terrific deals. Suburbans for over $10,000 less, better than $7,000 off a brand new Equinox. And Len Lyle Chevy has 0% financing on almost every model. Plus, they need trade-ins badly, so they're willing to pay over book value. Len Lyle Chevrolet, it's time for you to go east and pay the least. And did I mention they need your trade-in?
Here's why you need KLZ's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh, on your side. He understands how the jury thinks.
In the context of a personal injury case where you have been hurt by someone else's negligence, the idea with that is that you're then going to try to recover to get back to where you were just prior to that incident occurring. And what that really means from a juror's perspective is that you're going to be asking them to award you money. So when we talk about fairness, we're talking about what six people that don't know you, that hear evidence and have to make a unanimous decision, will decide as to what fair value is. And so you and I, when we get hurt, have definitely an idea of what we think it's worth to us. But the question is, what can you articulate to those other individuals who don't know you and are not involved in this process to get them persuaded about what it is that they think the case is worth?
Call now for a free consultation, 303-806-8886. Flesh and Beck Law, they get results.
Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center would like to announce their new Canine Academy is open. Hi, this is Scott Watley for my friends at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. The Canine Academy is offering all new classes and several exciting additions, including the new sport classes, scent work, and tray ball that dogs love. Their pet behavior specialist has over 20 years of experience working with animals large and small, including dogs and cats and zoo animals and exotics. He's available Tuesday through Saturday to help you with all of your pet training needs. Visit LoneTreeVet.com and check out the Canine Academy page for the summer class schedule, or just give them a call at 303-708-8050 and get your pet started in the training that's best for you and your pet.
Got a question for the station? Email info@CrawfordBroadcasting.com. Now back to Haystack Help Radio.
Welcome to Nutrition and Wellness Now with Dr. Mark Riggs, brought to you by 5280 Functional Medicine, where there is a better way to take control of your health. 5280functionalmed.com. Dr. Riggs, we made it to another Friday.
You say that a lot, Scott.
I know.
It's true. We did, and like I say, another day in paradise.
Yeah, for sure. A little smoky out there today, though.
Yeah.
A lot of fires going on. I think there's three major fires going on in the state.
That's what I heard. So. We were just driving down I-25 to Castle Rock the other day. There was a big fire on the side of the expressway.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Yeah, absolutely. Well, once again, Dr. Riggs joins us each week at this time. It is 5280 Functional Medicine. And today we're just going to kind of talk a little bit about the office of Dr. Riggs, the experience that you can expect when you go there, and then some just different patient stories a little bit. So, first of all, Dr. Riggs, let's kind of reset a little bit. It's been a while since we've done this, and just tell a little bit about yourself, how you got into this, and you know, then we'll get into your practice a little bit.
Well, my wife and I practice together at our practice in located off of I-25 and Dry Creek Road over in the Inverness business area. And we're both licensed doctors of chiropractic medicine, and we're both board-certified chiropractic internists, which is a specialty degree in the chiropractic profession that focuses on the comprehensive diagnosis and the conservative treatment of complex chronic internal conditions, right? And that's pretty much exclusively what we talk about on air together, Scott, are complex chronic internal conditions. What do I mean by that? I mean cardiovascular disease and diabetes and blood sugar disorders and hormonal problems like thyroid disorders and gastrointestinal issues, and all of those types of things would be under the umbrella of chronic internal conditions. And that is what we have received additional credentials in beyond our DC, our Doctor of Chiropractic. So our practice is a mix of seeing patients for chronic musculoskeletal issues, sometimes even acute musculoskeletal issues. I had a patient earlier today who injured her low back a few weekends ago, and she's been dealing with the residual effects of that. And so, you know, for those types of issues, we can employ chiropractic care, we can employ soft tissue modalities, ultrasound. We're acupuncture, certified acupuncture practitioners, both my wife and I. So just a lot of different tools in our toolbox on the musculoskeletal side. And then, you know, we're obviously thinking of things as board certified internists. We're also thinking of things from an internal aspect as well, not just the musculoskeletal stuff, right? So if a lot of patients, a lot of doctors in our profession, you know, because we get such strict musculoskeletal training, and we do get some internal training, but it's nothing compared to the amount of training that we get in, you know, in musculoskeletal medicine. And so oftentimes what can happen is if, you know, somebody comes in with low back pain, they just get laid down on the table and it's rack 'em and crack 'em and they're out. But what if that person has low back pain because they're experiencing kidney stone pain?
Sure.
What if they're experiencing low back pain from endometriosis? Not going to go away with chiropractic adjustments, but if your only tool is a hammer, then everything that you see is a nail, and that can be an inappropriate type of treatment. So often patients are come in with, you know, more than just one thing. You know, I joke, patients can have fleas and ticks at the same time. and so it helps to have training in both musculoskeletal medicine, physical medicine, and internal medicine. And that's what my wife and I are trained in, and that's what we specialize in. So when a patient comes in, we're looking for, you know, not just the physical stuff, but also the internal stuff. And then even going beyond that, you know, or is there an emotional component to it? Is there, you know, a stress-related component? component is you know, with, you know, many things, as you can imagine. So we've got lots and different types of patients coming in for lots of different chief complaints, both on the physical side and the internal side, sometimes both. And it requires, you know, I'm proud of the training that we received as both doctors of chiropractic and board certified internists to be able to look at look at each patient through each of those lenses is really, really an important thing.
Are patients shocked, especially your initial visit, of how much time they actually get face-to-face with you or your wife?
Yeah, I think it's much appreciated, because a lot of patients wind up in our office after dealing with their condition for an extended period of time and being around the block as far as seeing lots of different doctors. And sometimes they feel tremendously relieved just having the 90 minutes to talk to somebody. They feel really good coming in and then leaving after having had 90 minutes to unload everything, their whole history, and not just, oh, yeah, okay, whatever. And they kind of feel like they're ignored. They don't really feel like they're, you know, their doctor's making great eye contact with them. They don't feel like, you know, they're truly paying attention. We've gotten this a lot lately, several times, from several different new patients that, you know, I've been going around interviewing different doctors, and I feel like I'm just a number. I feel like I'm just another number in that office. I feel like I'm, you know, they're pushing product on me. I feel like they're just trying to kind of milk me for my money or something like that. And I really emphasize to prospective patients that we are a very, you know, intimate, low volume family practice that practices, you know, primary care, but not the primary care that most are used to, a kind of primary care that is alternative to the conventional standard, in that we provide that 90-minute initial assessment to comb through health history, to do a problem-focused physical exam, and then to collaborate, to put our heads together. What sounds like the best, you know, and I'm giving my suggestions as the doctor and the caretaker, but it's ultimately a collaborative effort, and I have to, you know, I find myself and I enjoy explaining myself. This is what I suggest, and this is the value behind this particular test or this particular, you know, botanical or this particular nutrient therapy or this particular food plan. This is the value behind it. Otherwise, you know, it's going to be very difficult to get, we realize it's going to be very difficult to get patients on board if they don't truly understand, if they haven't had the talk, you know, and they don't truly understand the value in what I'm talking about, because I can be as excited as I get about this stuff. And it just doesn't matter, because the patient doesn't understand the benefit, because I didn't do my job educating. I didn't do my job explaining. And so we really pride ourselves on taking the time on educating our patients. And so hopefully later in the show, I'll be able to get to some of those a few interesting stories that have happened recently in the past, to just sort of demonstrate how, you know, complicated some of these cases are. I've mentioned in the past that, you know, maybe 100 or 200 years ago, when people went to the doctor, and they went to the doctor, and most of the things afflicting people were acute conditions, right? Not a whole lot of this chronic lifestyle-induced disease that we see today. So a lot of issues that were treated back in the heyday of conventional medicine were acute issues, right? You get tetanus, or you fall and break your leg, or you get bit by an animal, or something like that. A lot of acute traumas and infections were the top killers several hundred years ago when conventional medicine was born. But nowadays, the landscape is completely different, and 7 out of the top 10 causes of death today are due to chronic lifestyle-induced conditions like the heart disease, like diabetes, like cancer. And we are still applying that same several hundred-year-old acute care conventional model, the Western medical model, to a brand new landscape. And that mismatch has resulted in horrific results as far as disease rates continuing to skyrocket, regardless of being over-medicated, right? We're only 5% of the world population, roughly, and we consume roughly 75 to 80% of the world's drugs. And so you'd think that if that acute care approach to illness was the key in this situation, that it would be working a lot better than it is. The fact is that it's a huge failure going after all of these chronic complex conditions that require a multifaceted and layered approach that takes time. And to think that we can just slap a Band-Aid on it with one or two, or my record is a patient on 21 drugs, that's just poor doctoring, mm-hmm. right?
Well, we're conditioned to that, aren't we?
We are conditioned for that. That is what's being trained in the schools. That is what patients are being trained when we watch the television and we see the drug ads. Ask your doctor, ask your doctor, ask your doctor. If you feel this, ask your doctor. It's like, well, you know, sometimes it requires a much more nuanced approach. It's not going to be as simple as just slapping another drug on top of the symptom. It really requires getting down to the root causes. And that's why I'm a big proponent of investing in your health. I just had a patient come in yesterday saying, we had the talk when it comes to, you know, these labs may be covered, but these labs almost certainly are not covered because they're well beyond the conventional standard of care. And the conventional standard is typically what insurance will cover. So these may be covered, but these most assuredly will not. And she said, well, you know what? That's okay. You've explained this to me. I feel like I understand. And, you know, I save for this reason. I save on the side for my health care every month. I save a little bit of money, put it in an account. And the reason for that is because I don't ever want money to prevent me from receiving the best care possible. And I thought that was so cool that she said that and volunteered that information. But that can be a foreign concept for a lot of mm-hmm. people. You know, a lot of people get very frustrated when their health insurance doesn't cover something. Sometimes the frustration is aimed in the wrong direction, like at the provider, right? So I'm not saying that this happens a lot, but some people get frustrated that they're, you know, I get it. If I was paying as much as health insurance costs for my health insurance, you know, on average, it's not cheap,
oh,
right?
No. Yeah.
And so if I was paying that kind of money, I'd want my health care to be covered as far as anything that I needed. That's not the case. What's covered is typically the conventional standard that involves screening tests. And, you know, I joke, our offices are not filled with populations of patients that these screening tests were geared for. We're sitting across from an individual person.
Sure.
And so although the screening test might have been you know, deemed useful for a population study, it's not always perfect for the individual sitting across from you. And so oftentimes a much more nuanced approach is required for the patient sitting across from us. And that's why we're trained in, and we advise our patients in running these advanced labs that we run, whether it's for cardiovascular issues or GI issues or psychiatric issues or, you know, skin issues, autoimmune conditions. We're often employing advanced labs to uncover underlying causes of your symptoms that you are coming to us for, right? So we are not just going to adjust away your symptoms. We're not just going to provide a B vitamin for your to wash away your symptoms or a botanical. We might utilize those things as supplementally, hence the name.
Sure.
But what we're really striving to do is to comb through your lifestyle factors that have been found in the scientific literature to be the largest causes, contributors to disease or health, whether you're going in one direction or the other with your health. Lifestyle factors overrule the genetic predisposition that we are all born with. Just based on the literature that's been studied and analyzed, you know, chronic lifestyle-induced factors are responsible for, you know, upwards of 90% of our risk for a future chronic disease. So that is where we are going to invest the mm-hmm. majority of our time and our efforts, is in changing those modifiable lifestyle factors, because that is going to give us the biggest bang for your buck. And if you're listening and, you know, that doesn't sound appealing, oh, I'm going to have to change my lifestyle, I realize that that's not going to be the optimal patient for, that's not who's coming in the door.
Sure.
The people who are coming to see us are patients that hear us, that come to our health talks, that hear us on the radio, that find us online through a Google search and look at our website. and they read about us, they listen to us, and we resonate because they're willing to make that investment in their own health. And as I say, what better thing to invest in than your health? I mean, you know, your house is important and your car is important and your, you know, your furniture is important, all that stuff. But if you don't have your health, if health isn't number one or number two, then, and I would argue number one, but if it's not number one, then, you know, what's going on? Maybe a reevaluation of priorities is necessary, because if you're not around to enjoy all those other things, what's the point?
Because I promise you, and I know this personal experience, I've said it before, my sister was a diabetic and juvenile diabetic and passed away at 62. Those life changes will come one way or the other. Now,
you can either do them under your own volition, or they will be forced upon you, right?
So it's just your choice.
And, you know, I have colleagues, I have a colleague in St. Louis who's an MD and a DC, and, you know, he's always saying, you know, a lot of people come into his office saying that functional medicine is just too expensive, can't afford it. It's just too expensive. I need to use my insurance and I can't afford it out of pocket. But in reality, it's really not that expensive. And I would say my wife and I have bent over backwards to keep our fees as inexpensive as humanly possible, because we are of the school of thought that we're trying to keep our price is reasonable so that people invest in their health. It's not going to be, we realize many fewer people are going to be able to invest in their health if the upfront cost is $5,000.
Sure.
But if it's 500, that's a totally different ball game, right? So if you can budget for that or something in that ballpark, then we can really, you know, then we can really get somewhere. And when you shop around, you'll realize that it's, you know, many places are thousands and thousands of dollars, even chiropractic offices. I'm blown away that even some chiropractic clinics are charging patients $3,000 up front for a 6-month program. And just blows me away. We don't do anything like that. We take things and play things by ear and take things one step at a time and constantly are informing our patients. We're constantly rechecking in with our patients, and, there's no big, fancy, expensive upfront costs and big, fancy programs that you're locked into or anything of the sort. So it's important for patients to understand, you know, the difference between conventional medicine and functional medicine. I feel like we've elucidated that on our website and certain patient handouts that are located on our website, and I talk about it from time to time on the radio. The big features, the 90-minute initial visit is pretty unprecedented. You know, sitting down, collaborating, not just being told what you're going to do, but and then being explained what's going on, how things are going to work, and to sort of help you visualize your path going forward. And obviously, that's going to change as new information comes in.
But it's a process. It's a journey.
And like I say, you know, you didn't develop these chronic conditions overnight. They took probably a lot, in many cases, a couple decades to develop. And so, you know, give us 6 months, give us a year. See what happens when you really, you know, grit your teeth and do the hard work, and you'll have help and you'll have support. You'll have the guidance of my wife and I and our health coach, Bryn Callender, who, by the way, is doing a health talk tomorrow morning at 10:30. That's Saturday, August 15th at 10:30 in the morning. She's doing a health talk on achieving better sleep, and that will be hosted by our board certified functional medicine health and wellness coach, Bryn Callender. And, you know, Scott, we've talked about this. We've had entire shows on how important sleep is for your immediate health, and also for, you know, the development or lack of development of chronic health conditions. Sleep will take you out in a hurry. If patients, you know, I mean, think about it. If you got no sleep last night, you'd feel like a train wreck in one day,
sure,
right? One missed sleep. You can't say that about having one bad meal or even 10 bad meals. Some people have hundreds of bad meals in a row and they still are kind of, you know, gimping along. But if you miss sleep for one day or 2 days or 3 days in a row, you are a train wreck. Yeah. So that's one of those things that's just been known throughout cultures and throughout history as something that will really take you out quickly as far as your health. And so sleep, achieving better sleep Bryn will go over those strategies tomorrow at 10:30. It's a webinar. You can go to our website, 5280functionalmed.com, and right there on the banner of the homepage is a link that you click on to register. It's totally free. You can invite, you know, tell your friends or your family members about it, anybody that might be interested. Anybody can join. You don't have to be a patient of ours already. You can just be listening to me right now and join the webinar tomorrow by registering by clicking on the link on our homepage.
Okay, great. Again, Dr. Mark Riggs is with us, 5280 Functional Medicine, 5280functionalmed.com, as he just mentioned. If you missed any of our past shows, highly recommend you go there. He does a great job of identifying of what our discussion was about on those past podcasts, so check those out. And once again, their number, 720-722-0386. All right, let's, a couple of patients.
Sure. Yeah, we'll try to get to as many as I can. But one that I'm thinking of that was interesting that happened recently was a young male in his 30s, and he came to me with the chief complaint of worsened anxiety. Like his anxiety was always kind of low grade, but it recently worsened, and it was associated with severely sweaty palms and severe brain fog and I think a little bit of insomnia. And so it was really interesting talking with him, but he found us and we took his history and took him through a physical exam and began to talk. And eventually the discussion turned to, okay, where are you? What are you eating? I'm going to have you fill out a diet diary, right? So we're going to have you do at least a 24-hour diet recall. But usually I have patients do a week-long diet recall. And it became apparent that he was not consuming very many calories, right? So this is common. Sometimes when people go from like a standard American diet and they either, you know, go to some armchair expert or some doctor or nutritionist. But sometimes it can be the case where you shift gears from a standard American diet to a whole food diet and your nutrient density goes way up, but your total calories go way down because you've cut out 70% of the refined foods out of the foods out of your diet, which happen to be refined, garbage, high calorie diet, low nutrient density. So that became quickly apparent. He wasn't getting in enough calories. So we ordered some labs, some basic stuff and some more advanced labs. I can't recall off the top of my head exactly what the labs were, but we ran some labs to check for things like hormone issues and micronutrient issues and other general health stuff. And his diet recall came back really way in the tank as far as calories, like less than 1,200 calories a day when he probably should be at 2,200. Wow. And nothing had changed about his diet for several years, so this has been going on for a long time. Anyway, we got him eating more whole food calories, like stay on the whole food diet, but really amp it up, really emphasize, you know, the healthy fats and the starchy vegetables and the healthy quality sources of proteins. And I didn't just give him those general suggestions. I went and detailed specific examples. And within, gosh, I can't remember exactly. It was maybe within 2 months or so, he was feeling dramatically better. There was a little period of time where he dipped down, felt a little bit worse, but he was feeling dramatically better, just increasing his calorie intake. And then we adjusted a few more things along the way, and the increase in the calories eliminated half of his symptoms, and then giving it about another 2 months eliminated the other half of his symptoms for the most part. And so we're at the point with him now where we've got him quote unquote stable. Wow. And we are just maintaining his health by running a few advanced labs and going through his lifestyle factors, going through the foods that he's eating on a regular basis, and just tweaking what we found to be off. Right?
And leaving that alone, or if he would have ignored that for
who knows how long
years.
That would have gone on.
Wow.
For. And it just, we call them the walking wounded. These people that, you know, they're not going to wind up in the emergency room, but their quality of life just stinks. And guess what? Because they're not an acute care issue, the medical doctors are going to throw up their hands and have no idea what to do. You've got chronic fatigue. You've got, you know, sweatiness. You've got, you know, the sympathetic reaction. I don't know. So that was one interesting one. And then another one that happened, had an older an older female in her 70s. She came in, felt like she was in fairly good general health with a few minor issues in her opinion. One of them was loose stools. One of them was slight fatigue. One of them was some intermittent, you know, kind of low back pain issue. So again, thinking from a chiropractic standpoint and an internist standpoint, well, maybe the low back pain could be musculoskeletal, maybe, but let's run a urinalysis just to be sure. So we ran a urinalysis, and we found actually that she had kidney stones, right? So we found that issue, and we've given her some suggestions or how to avoid that in the future because kidney stones have a nasty habit of being recurrent. And then for the loose stools and the chronic fatigue issue, I can't remember if she also had a neuropathy issue as well. Some of these patient encounters sometimes tend to bleed together, Scott. But she did have the loose stools and the fatigue, and so we ran a comprehensive stool analysis test. Found out that she had pretty significant bacterial overgrowth or bacterial dysbiosis and yeast overgrowth. So we provided her some botanicals to kill the crud, and then we did that for about a month. We provided her with some tailored probiotics according to her bacteriology culture to build up her healthy gut bacteria. And lo and behold, the loose stools went away. Her stools became normal again. The fatigue subsided a little bit. And then in addition, we added some micronutrients that she was deficient in, added a digestive enzyme, got things clipping along, because if she's deficient in these micronutrients and she's got this dysbiosis, you know, we want to restore the gut microbiome in the gut so that she's, you know, not having diarrhea, but she was also fatigued, and I suspected it might be driven by the dysbiosis and siphoning the micronutrients from her system. And so while we're treating the underlying cause, we're also pushing those nutrients in a little higher doses in the interim.
Okay.
And so her energy level really, really came back to life after that. And again, conventional doctors just aren't doing this type of work, right? You go to the doctor, you get the 8 to 12 minutes, and you get the prescription pad for something. But they don't have a prescription necessarily for somebody with low energy, right? So what do? Right. You're kind of stuck in this, you know, limbo in between providers. Nobody really knows what to do with you. So, yeah, I mean, there's so many stories of things like that we've had. I like sharing them, and maybe next time I'll get into a few more.
Sure. All right, Health Talk. Let's talk about that one more time in the morning. Sure. At 10:30 with Bryn.
Yep, tomorrow, 10:30 in the morning, Bryn Callender, our board-certified functional medicine health and wellness coach, will be hosting a health talk on strategies for achieving better sleep. Anybody can join. If you're listening to my voice right now, you can join the webinar by going to our website, 5280functionalmed.com. Click on the registration link on the banner of the homepage. Register and meet Bryn at 10:30 in the morning tomorrow for some really, really really good information.
All right. Sleep better. Man, that sounds good just to say. Get more sleep.
Can you, I mean, think about it. If you've been feeling worn out, can you imagine waking up and actually feeling recharged as opposed to waking up and feeling like garbage, like when you went to bed almost,
absolutely,
right? That's a lot of us.
Yep.
It's me in particular right now with the little one.
Absolutely. Dr. Riggs, always great information. Thank you so much. 5280functionalmed.com. Follow that link. Join Bryn tomorrow morning at 10:30. Hey, we all need that extra sleep and to get healthier. 5280functionalmed.com. Thanks for being with us today. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Leave it right here on KLZ 560.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.